We are all meeting under the COVID restrictions via Zoom. So please note that due to the current COVID-19 pandemic, tonight's meeting, rather than the confidential sessions, are being recorded and live streamed by audio on Council's website. A copy of the recording will be placed on the website within 48 hours of the meeting concluding. Thank you. So, Reverend Christine, if you were there, could you please lead us in the prayer?
Certainly. Let us pray. Sovereign God, tonight as we gather together as a council, we affirm that you are the giver and sustainer of life. We come together as representatives of our community to make decisions that will benefit this city and the people within it. We come not in a spirit of competition, not as adversaries, but as colleagues. Help us to treat each other with respect, with dignity, with interest, and with honesty. Help us not just to hear the words we say, but also to hear each other's hearts. We seek to be wise in all that we say and do. As we meet, our concern is for this city, and in this time of COVID, we ask for protection for the mayor, for the councillors, for the staff, and for all who are part of this city. Grant us wisdom, courage, and strength. Lord, help us. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
You're on mute.
Thank you. Council values the unique status of Aboriginal people as the original owners and custodians of the lands and waters, including the lands and waters of Penrith City. Council values the unique status of Torres Strait Islander people as the original owners and custodians of the Torres Strait Islands and surrounding waters. We work together for a united Australia and city that respects this land of ours, that values the diversity of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultural heritage, and provides justice and equity for all. Thank you. I don't believe we have any leave of absence for any councillors. No. Apologies. It looks as if we have full attendance online. Councillors, confirmation of the minutes of the ordinary meeting of the 24th of May. Could I have a mover? Moved, Councillor Henry. Seconded, Councillor Carney. All those in favour, all those against, declare that carried. Thank you. Councillors, are there any declarations of interest in regards to the business paper? No, there are no declarations. Addressing Council, we do have two that have indicated that they would like to address Council. Could I have a mover to suspend, move Councillor Cartwright, seconded Councillor Duke, so that we can hear the submissions from those who wish to address Council? I believe Ms. Peake will be reading those submissions out. And first I have Mr. Bentham.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. My name is David Bentham. I live at 57 Watergum Drive, Jordan Springs. I understand that the meeting this evening, the 28th of June, is a public meeting. I also understand that should I say or present any material that is inappropriate, I may be subject to legal action. I also acknowledge that I have been advised to obtain my own legal advice about the appropriateness of the material that I intend to present at this meeting. I have now lived in Jordan Springs for over 6 years and have recently become involved in civic matters due to what I and many others see as disturbing issues in our community impacting on our well-being and lifestyle. The sinking, the dangerous one-way access to Jordan Springs East, the pub, the school, the poor response to community concerns. I'm a professional engineer, now retired, with training in town planning and many aspects of safety. All my life, I have had safety as the guiding light in my objectives and been honoured for my activities. I was a councillor in the Hills for over 8 years and deputy mayor for 1 year. For my services to the community and to business, I was awarded an OAM 6 years ago. The issue. Tonight I will speak about the report from the Traffic Committee, outcome number 3. This relates to the traffic arrangements outside Jordan Springs Public School. Background. The school was completed just 2 years ago and as the attendance has ramped up, it has become apparent that the design is very poor in regard to the interface with the community due to the arrangements for children to be picked up by cars, particularly when it rains, being defective. Very serious hazards have been observed and been acknowledged by all concerned. The principal, the education department, Prucar MP, council, the community, neighbours and informed safety experts like myself. I have made representation by writing to all concerned. I have had discussions with the principal and local parents. I made a suggestion on a long-term solution to the problem. The school is about to expand with a lot of demountables to be placed on the playing field, and enrolment, I am told, will soon exceed 1,000 children. The community is very concerned. The school staff have been valiant in trying to reduce the very serious risks identified. Currently, the education department tell me by letter that 6 teachers each day are designated to marshal pupils for pickup. This is a misuse of our very valuable professional teachers' time. The situation has been considered by Council's Traffic Committee. From the information I can glean, the proposal is tinkering at the edges. The need is far more fundamental. Current and envisaged plans will fail, in my opinion. Major capital investment will need to be made. An engineering resolution is needed now. The cost to the community for one child being made a paraplegic would far outweigh a proper solution. The emotional cost cannot be measured. Conclusion. The issue should be referred back to the Traffic Committee. A long-term solution must be developed. We are a very car-dependent community and this needs to be recognised. Hopefully, council planners will look at the education department and other departments' plans in the future and make suggestions to avoid similar dangerous situations evolving in Penrith. It can be done. Thank you all. David Bentham.
Thank you. And we also have a written submission from Mr. Robert Simpson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Good evening, Mayor McEwen and councillors. I'm Robert Simpson. I will be addressing item 16, adoption of the delivery program 2017 to 2022 and the 2021-2022 operational plan, in particular the proposed fees and charges for 2021 to 2022. I wish to speak against the proposed fees and charges and request you consider my following proposed amendment that I submitted to the public exhibition. I speak as an affected person and concerned citizen and speak on an issue that affects all property owners. In my submission to the public exhibition, I proposed to introduce a new tree removal fee to allow a property owner to remove a tree that they have planted that is not under a covenant or development condition, simply by filling in a form and declaration and paying a fee to have council plant a replacement tree on council property. I proposed the fee should be $200, which is the fee to plant a memorial tree. Again, this is only for trees that are not under a property's covenant or DA condition. Council's tree management policy does not provide equity or fairness to the property owner with trees when compared to the developers, subdividers and property owners that don't plant trees. Why should the property owner who has planted an inappropriate tree or is faced with driveway damage, lifting and public liability, or faced with $5,000 in costs to park a caravan or boat at a storage facility, not be allowed to remove a tree on the sole basis that that tree is in good condition? Developers can remove many trees and make $100,000 a townhouse or millions for high rises or subdivisions and are allowed to replace trees on site or elsewhere. My sensible proposal would give the property owner equity and fairness, but will also allow council to plant larger native trees on council land that would be better for the Cooling the City strategy, resilience, wildlife habitat and public health. Contrast my proposal to council's existing tree management policy, which actually decreases resilience, the tree canopy and habitat, and discourages the planting of trees.
Number one, council allows the removal of any tree or shrub within 3 metres of the building, even if the tree is causing no damage or loss of use of land, and not one removed tree needs to be replaced. Two, council allows the removal of dead trees, again with no need to replace them, even if there is a DA condition or covenant. And three, an actual case in Penrith where about 120 cypress pine hedge trees, about 5 metres high, died by a disease that has swept throughout Sydney, and not one tree has to be replaced. Well, councillors, you have the opportunity tonight to adopt my reasonable, simple proposal to bring equity and fairness to all your ratepayers. With council and federal elections shortly, do you and your party actually support workers, families, retirees, and the less well-off? I'm only requesting that the ratepayer be treated the same as the developers by adopting my simple, equitable, and fair proposal. I thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Ms. Peak. That concludes the submissions we have to address council. Could I have a motion to move back into ordinary business? Moved Councillor Presty, seconded Councillor Cramry. All those in favour, all those against, declare that carried. Thank you. Mayoral minutes. Councillors, we have 3 mayoral minutes. One has been deferred until July. That is the mayoral minute for Frank Lawton. That has been done in consultation with his family and the St Mary's sub-branch, as there were a number of people who wished to attend council in person for that mayoral minute, and it was their preference for that to be held over to the July meeting in the hope that we will be back together face to face. So tonight we have the 2 minutes. The first one is the retirement of Wayne Mitchell, and I would like to acknowledge the retirement of Council's Director of Development and Regulatory Services, Wayne Mitchell, and in doing so, acknowledge the significant contribution he's made to our city over his 31-year career with the organisation. Wayne joined Council in 1990 as District Health and Building Surveyor. After 2 years, he was appointed Senior Environment Officer and, in this role, happily took the extra responsibilities and higher duties, a pattern that continued throughout his career. In 2001, he stepped into the Policy Unit Coordinator position for 3 years before becoming the Council's first Environmental Health Manager. When this new specialist department was established, he became Group Manager City Infrastructure in 2008, and in 2013 took on the Executive Manager Environment and City Development role. He has led his current directorate since 2019. What this employment history tells us is that Wayne has been involved in a lot of projects of decision making across many departments and teams. His input was pivotal to the sustainable Penrith strategy and the development of flood risk management plans and the rural land study, as well as the plans for the Erskine Park employment area and other industrial lands. He was a major contributor to planning instruments for some of the new communities in our city, including Claremont Meadows, Glenmore Park, Werrington Signals site, and the North Penrith Army land. He was involved in rezoning the ADI site, negotiations around the Yandipian River Bridge project, our latest waste services contracts, and the parking sensors and app projects. Wayne's outstanding and long-term management of the Gibbs Street Rehabilitation Project deserves special mention. Through this project, he and the teams he led have delivered back a prime piece of real estate on which we are developing an extensive recreation precinct. The opportunity to collaborate with our community on such a high-quality blank canvas like this is very rare. but it is also the way Wayne works that has impacted council so positively. He manages multidisciplinary teams exceptionally well, and his customer service is second to none. When handling development applications, Wayne always managed to combine a pragmatism and understanding of the applicant's perspective with exceptional decision-making. As council's representative on external committees, he has forged strong and lasting relationships of mutual benefit, including his role leading council's friendship agreement with Lachlan Shire Council. And I know I speak for my fellow councillors when I say his depth of knowledge and measured approach have been invaluable in our meetings and briefings. When Wayne answered a question, we always felt confident in the answer, even if it was something that we didn't particularly want to hear. Wayne leaves council as a highly respected member of staff. His expertise and corporate knowledge will be missed, as will his dry sense of humour and generosity of spirit. I know Wayne is looking forward to spending more time with his children and grandchildren, and no doubt spend a few hours on the golf course trying to replicate his legendary hole-in-one that he achieved on an outing with Council's social club group. Wayne, I'd like to thank you once again for your outstanding contribution to our city over so many years, and we wish you and Michelle all the very best for the future. Councillor Hitchin.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I mean, that says an awful lot about an outstanding man, and it's been a privilege to be able to work with Wayne. From my very first time on council, he's always been very generous with his time, and he's always been happy to explain things over and over and over again until I actually got it. And I think his sense of humour has been quite evident in some of the difficult meetings we've had in council. I do wish him all the best. I know he's looking forward to spending time with his grandkids, but he will be missed on council, and I'd just like to thank him for his service.
Thank you. Councillor Fain.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd also like to just add my thanks to the service that Wayne's given to not just Penrith Council, but the whole community and our LGA. Besides being a bloody good bloke, he is a consummate professional with a great deal of integrity as well. And I just appreciate the access that we had to you, Wayne. You always give us time, mate. You, as the Deputy Mayor said, explain things. And if you could find a way, you could. And if you couldn't, we knew that there probably wasn't a way. Well, I think one of the things that really tickled me, Wayne, is that you were in a car park that's on the Thornton site. State government told us that we couldn't do it. We said we could. We did it at a price, and they didn't believe that we could actually do it at that price. Not only did we end up having to hand some money back to the state government, which actually killed us. It did it on time and under budget with your team. I think that just shows the quality of the work that you did for our city and for us in council. I want to say that the times that we went away on conferences or local government conferences or when we did go out, to see our partners at Lachlan. I always truly enjoyed your company, mate. I'll miss you, but I really do wish you and Michelle a long and happy retirement, mate. I hope she doesn't get too bored of you too quick. But thanks very much.
Councillor Cornish.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Wayne, I've grown over the years I've been on council to respect you far higher than many others for a variety of reasons. One, you didn't always agree with me, but you told me the honest truth and how things could be done, and you're very patient for that. I thank you. I note that you were given some pretty ordinary portfolios at one stage, which you didn't go negative on, you look for ways of fixing the problems, and that's all that could be asked of anyone. You always approach things in a measured fashion. You've even laughed at some of my jokes, which others, no. But, Wayne, I really wish you the best in your retirement. Only advice I can give you is go slow on the projects, because the more you fix, the more your wife will have waiting. I wish you a great retirement, mate. All the best.
Councillor
Fenella. Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor, and I'd just like to share in those words of thanks from your mayoral minute and from my councillor colleagues. I think Wayne has certainly has been handed over the years a couple of really hard tasks and really hard portfolios. The compliance matters that he's dealt with, that I've been involved with, he's handled exceptionally well, and I congratulate him on what he's done there. It's certainly, when you're dealing with the public, there's always two sides to the issue, but really do council get to express their full views on it, because sometimes it's taken the issues are taken away, and some do end up in court. Johnny, he definitely is a bloody good bloke, and I share your description of that. He's certainly one of the people that I've had a lot of admiration for in council over the last large number of years. He's had the well-being of council and the well-being of councillors at heart. He certainly does explain things, and does explain them in detail. And I'm certain that most people go away with a better knowledge before than what they had as a result of that explanation. Certainly listens, and he also expresses correctly the results of his learnings. Just like to mention Ripples and the great working relationship that Wayne had with the late Alan Brown, the president of the Ripples. They worked particularly well together over a large number of years for the benefit of the city and for the improvement of the facility down there at St Mary's. I know the girls up in the executive office, Wayne, will miss you, but more particularly they're probably going to miss your limes and your chilies and your lemons and all the other garden produce that you bring in surplus to needs. I'm certain that you'll still keep in contact, and you might, over the next few years, still provide the girls with produce from time to time. So, personally, thank you very much for everything. It's been great working with you. It's been great to know you, and I'm sure we'll hear from you into the future. So, congratulations, well done. Happy retirement to you and Michelle. And if you don't travel, there's plenty of garden at home to look after. Cheers.
Councillor Greg Davies.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Yeah, Wayne, I just wanted to pass on my congratulations to you on your retirement, mate. I endorse every word that was said in that mayoral minute and the stuff that both Ross and John raised, especially that stuff about Ripples. You did an outstanding job there, mate. 1990 starting at council, gee, you've got nearly as long term involvement with council as I have. I think I beat you by about 2 years, mate. So we've worked fairly closely over that time, and we've had our disagreements over time, but that's healthy. I like to get advice and pass on what I think is the good, but at least you always listen, mate. So I just think you've been a wonderful asset to council. You and I have both seen a hell of a lot of changes since 1990 in council. It's a long time, but you've done your job extremely well. You've got on well with everybody on council, councillors and staff. And that's a big effort in itself. So I hope you thoroughly enjoy your retirement. You do as little or as much as you want. And hopefully COVID, we can get over this COVID problem and you might be able to jump on a plane and do a bit of travelling, mate, but I wish you well. And when you leave, can you ask council to, if you can keep the phone, because they're going to keep your number on speed dial, mate. Thanks, mate.
Councillor Mark Davies.
Mayor, Mary.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Just wanted to, Wayne, just personally thank you for, it's been 17 years since I've been on council. I guess there's been hundreds of meetings and phone calls over that time, and I just want to thank you for all your professionalism, your knowledge, but you're just you're a thorough gentleman, Wayne, and I just want to really thank you for all your advice over the years. I knew that whenever I got some advice that I didn't necessarily was hoping that would be the advice I got, I did have a sense of confidence knowing that it was, that, you know, every avenue had been looked at and you thoroughly looked at the issue. And I just really appreciate all the input, all of the work you've done behind the scenes, sorting out a lot of these council requests and those phone calls. And you're a practical guy, common sense, looked at issues. And I just really, really appreciated all those calls over the years and all those meetings where, you know, the input and your advice into situations. Some of them have been pretty difficult as projects and decisions that we've had to make. But you've always given, I believe, just real honest answers. And you've been upfront. You haven't tried to sugarcoat things or anything like that, but you've given advice as it is and how you saw it. And I really appreciate that. But I also appreciate your character and the way that you've carried yourself over the years that I've been on council, and the way that you've approached myself, other councillors, and the issues in the business at hand. And so I just really want to wish you all the best for the future, and that you'd have the more time to pursue those passions that you have, particularly, obviously, with your family. And so I just wish you all the best. Thank you, Wayne.
Councillor Bertusa, then Councillor Aitken.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Wayne, I'll start with the easy one. You're an absolute champion. You know, listening to my councillor colleagues there that have been there for decades, it's testament to the person that you are. Logical, common sense, always looking at the glass half full. And you want to talk about difficult portfolios? Well, I've only been on council 9 years, and I think the toughest portfolio you got was looking after new councillors. You always gave an honest assessment. I consider you to be a friend, and you know, a couple of things that you've done for me. You've got a similar hair colour, and we play the same sport. And I truly wish you a very long and healthy back nine, champion. Enjoy every minute.
Councillor Aitken.
Yeah. Well, there's been some great words said tonight, and they don't come cheap. They come dear. They come because you've earned every one of them, Wayne. You're the only fellow that I ring up council to get advice off or to give jobs to. I appreciate the fact that you never got sick of me doing that. That you just took it on board and it was fixed up without too much hassle. It's often been said that a man of words and not of deeds is like a garden full of weeds. I can tell you that your garden's pretty good. There's no weeds in there. It's all real. I'd like to just wish you a happy and healthy retirement. Hope it goes for a long time. And always on the end of the phone, if ever I can do it, to pay back some of the good things that you've done to me and enrich my life as well as your own. And all the best, mate.
Councillor Cook.
Well, thank you, Madam Mayor. I haven't known Wayne as long as everybody else. I'm very fairly new on council, but from the minute that I took up the position, he's been very, very supportive, patient, accessible, encouraging. I just want to thank him for all his invaluable service to the community over many years, and I wish him well in his retirement.
Thank you. Councillor Cartwright.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. Wayne, not much left to say after all of that. I agree with everybody. I'd just like to say thank you for your patience and helping me and like Robin in our short time on council. I'd just like to wish you all the very best in your retirement, mate. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Councillor Presty.
Again, another one saying thank you very much, Wayne, for all you've done, all the assistance you've given me personally during my times on council. And it's been an honour and a privilege knowing you. And I was actually just thinking, I'll always remember, I think, of the trivia night when we had to actually build a bridge out of straws. I think we left it to you. So thanks very much for all you've done. And best of luck in your retirement.
Thank you, councillors, for that contribution. The next mayoral minute is the Queen's Birthday Honours List recipient, and I'm pleased to acknowledge that local resident Barry Costa was awarded a Medal of the Order of Australia in the 2021 Queen's Birthday Honours List. Barry was awarded an OAM for his service to Penrith community through Rugby League. Barry is a South Penrith resident and has been a volunteer member of the Brothers Penrith Junior Rugby League Club since 1983. Over the past 38 years, he's held many roles with the club, from treasurer to coach, and since 2014, he was acting as the Brothers Penrith Tri-Time Coordinator. Tri-Time is a fantastic program that trains children with additional needs to play rugby league and enjoy the friendship and sense of achievement that comes from playing sport. Since moving to South Penrith in 1976, Barry has volunteered with St Nicholas of Myra Catholic Church and the Nepean Food Services Meals on Wheels program. A formal ceremony will be held to acknowledge Barry along with our Australia Day Honours recipients in the coming months. On behalf of Council and the Penrith community, I congratulate Barry on this great honour. Excuse me. Councillor Fowler.
You're on mute. I just had to unmute it, yeah. Very pleased to second your mayoral minute. For those who know Barry, you know that his passion obviously is rugby league, and he's been an integral part of the growth of the Brothers Football Club over the last 30 or so years. But he is really a true community representative, and that's evidenced by the fact that he gets himself involved with other things other than football. The PM Meals on Wheels is a big effort there. And also the Tri-Time, which really is a great initiative and helps bring young people, I suppose, gives them some meaning and also helps them integrate into society and become part of something, particularly the teams of rugby league teams. So, Madam Mayor, a great honour for our city to have somebody who's been so passionate in his, I suppose, time with the city, and congratulations to Barry, and I look forward to attending the civic function in due course.
Thank you, Councillor Fowler. Councillors, are there any further contributions or comments? No, thank you very much for that. We look forward to seeing him in the not-too-distant future, where we will be able to congratulate him in person, let's hope. So moving on now to the adoption of reports and recommendations of committees. I have the Resilience Committee meeting of the 19th of May. It's been... Yes, Councillor Davies, are you moving that? Seconded Councillor Presty. Councillor Mark Davies?
Sorry, yeah, I just wanted to ask a couple of questions if I could.
Yes.
On the item two, Curling of the Cities Initiative Showcase, understanding that there's a number of videos being made I'm just wondering, I may have missed it, but I'm just wondering whether any of this sort of came to a briefing, because I know that at the end of that point there, that looking at the follow-on from the videos which are already in production, that there is a development of discussion paper identifying gaps and opportunities to embed urban heat and cooling within the planning system, and to use this as advocate state government. So I just want to make sure that us councils are across that, not just the Resilience Committee.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Could I have, is it Carly, Ms. Ryan or Mr. Moore?
Sorry, Madam Mayor, I'm coming online. Yes, we'll be able to provide a memo with some update there, so the planning for the videos and the discussion paper is still in course. The outcomes of the first Coolin City Masterclass were briefed back to Council, but we can provide a memo with an update and a further briefing if required.
Yeah, thanks. Just because it seems that the videos are already in production, so I'm just thinking in my mind a lot of themes and a lot of things are being embedded now, and then discussion papers then produced afterwards in terms of things that are going to be developed in the planning. I just want to make sure we're across that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
The second one question I had was the item four, which was the solar car. I understand it mentions in there, and I may have missed it in a briefing, I don't know, but it says that we have sponsored the solar car. It doesn't say, once again, no figures, and normally that would have come to our ordinary meeting, so I just want just a bit of clarification.
Mr. Moore, are you able to answer that question on the sponsorship of the solar car?
Madam Mayor, I can answer the question. So we reported that to the Resilience Committee. It's been done within operational budgets through our marketing team. But we can provide some further information through MEMA. I don't have any other information at hand at the moment. Somebody else can offer that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So just a little bit disappointed that it talks about we sponsored it. But once again, I keep raising this issue. There's no dollars. This would not normally come, previously it had come to an ordinary meeting, which our council has signed off on. I think that's probably the proper way, I would imagine, to handle it as we've done in the past. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Davies. So I put the recommendations with the extra information to come back via MEMO. All those in favour? All those against, declare that carried. So the local traffic committee meeting of the 7th of June.
If I could just declare an interest, I just realised there is some speed humps on the 9th Avenue in that report, and I live on 9th and 2nd, so I think I should declare an interest. Non-pecuniary may be significant.
And you will not be participating in the debate or voting on that item. Thank you, Councillor Cromery. So it's been moved, Councillor Hitchens, seconded Councillor Cook. All those in favour? All those against? Declare that carried, noting that Councillor Cromery has not participated. Policy review meeting of the 7th of June. I have a mover for those minutes. Move Councillor Greg Davies, seconded Councillor Fowler. All those in favour, all those against, declare that carried. The Heritage Advisory Committee meeting of the 15th of June. It's been moved, Councillor Cornish, seconded.
With some amendments, Madam Mayor.
With some amendments.
Yes, firstly, there's no mover or seconder for any of the items that's been recorded, and I think that's a requirement by the meeting practice. Also on page 23, there's a word re-election instead of election. So if that could be corrected, I'm happy to move it, but I do want to speak to the item.
Okay, so I just need a seconder for the item. Seconded Councillor Cartwright. Okay, yes, Councillor Cornish.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. That was our last meeting for this term. It's been a long term, a 5-year term, for the Heritage Advisory Committee. And I just want to point out how far they've come in the last 5 years. The members of the committee have put quite a lot into the meetings, and certainly a lot of knowledge and heart. Now, I also wish to thank the council officers for their strong support. It's gone from being a situation where people sat around and ate a tea cake and chatted to a proper committee where things have been achieved. We now have $100,000 a year for restoration work. And on behalf of the committee, I'd like to thank all the councillors who voted for that. I think that was a wonderful a thing to do for the heritage of Penrith and therefore our nation. But the committee has done great things. A special mention to Councillor Brian Cartwright, who came in later on in the piece and certainly put his best efforts in and was very vocal and a great person to work with on a committee. I really am sorry he won't be on the next one. Whether if I am even is another matter. But I just wanted to mention how far this committee's come, and with the support of council and council officers, and we've achieved great things. And I'm sure more things will come forward. There is a police station which is being turned into a what's going to be an extremely popular restaurant, cafeteria. You can't miss there. And we're also looking at the same thing for the old post office at Emu Plains on the corner of Old Bathurst Road. By activating these sites and using our historic sites instead of letting them just fall apart and fall into disrepair, we are preserving them. And the best way to preserve is to actually use them. The committee has not been as bloody-minded as you would find in some areas. The committee realises that there is progress happening in Penrith, and it has to fit in with that progress, but not at a loss of our heritage, but within reason. And I thank Councillor for the support of the committee on behalf of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you. That committee report has been moved and seconded. All those in favour, all those against, I declare that carried. Thank you. We now move on to the delivery program reports, and we have items 1 and 2.
Item two, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you.
Item 2.
Mm-hmm. So do I have a mover for item 1? Move Councillor Hitchin, seconder Councillor Fowler. All those in favour, all those against, declare that carried. Item 2, Councillor Thane, are you moving the report?
I am, Madam Mayor, but I'd also like to put an addition in there, and that is that, particularly with the industrial area, that it be Council's DCP that is used for the industrial area. And I say that because, you know, the department might be great at big broad brush strokes, but when it comes down to the nitty-gritty and it comes to DCPs, I think they haven't been so great. And I can point to Thornton as an example of that, where in the past, despite numerous attempts by ourselves to advise that some of their street design wasn't up to scratch, they didn't listen, and in the end we ended up with streets where you can't get a garbage truck down.
So Councillor Thane, you're moving amendments to the recommendation. Do you have a set of words for us to put as I can seek a seconder for the recommendation?
I don't, but it would be that the department follow Council's DCP. I think that's what the gist of what the officers were trying to get at anyway. I think it's just really important that we give them the imprimatur of full council.
Mm-hmm. A seconder for that?
Happy to second it.
Seconded, Councillor Fowler. Sorry, yes, Councillor Thain.
Look, you know, the reason I say that is that, you know, we have our own setbacks. We have our own road designs. We have entries and egress. I think it's important that it's uniform across the city. I don't think they would impose the same design concepts that they would have for Penrith Lakes and the third city and the industrial area and the tourist area. So I think it's really important they focus on Council's DCP and use that, because at the end of the day, we're the ones that know our city and we're the ones that know what's needed. And I've mentioned Thornton, case in point, where that, although it's a pretty good, great development, people do like living there. But, you know, we do know that there are some issues with the road system, and particularly where it comes to picking up garbage and that kind of thing. And it concerns me that if our DCP isn't followed, then some of the setbacks or the road configurations might not be suitable, or you know, it won't be uniform across the city. And I don't think we should penalise one development when the rest of the city can be uniform. That's my view, Madam Mayor, and I'm glad it's been seconded.
Mm-hmm. Councillor Fowler, do you wish to speak as the seconder?
Yes, I do, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to say that we have a DCP for the area. Penrith Lakes and Depot are trying to impose a DCP, and I noticed that a lot of work has been done on it, and it's come back to a degree, which really is in contrast to the DCP, which affects land which adjoins the Penrith Lakes scheme. And I think from point of view of encouraging development within the city and encouraging employment-based development, then we have to have a DCP that is able to be adhered to in a manner which doesn't hinder the development and the industrial development that's proposed. And I'm particularly concerned that there is about the setbacks, and I'm not quite certain, but I couldn't see it in the report where there's any mention of setbacks and the level or the distance of setbacks from the front and from the rear. A lot of development can be doesn't need to have to be set back from the side boundaries if it can fit onto the block, and I think we've got to be a little bit flexible in regards to that to be able to get a result which will enhance the potential of this city. We, as a council, have embarked on a exercise at Emu Plains, and I'm certainly hoping that the development control plans that are applied to that are consistent with what is in the rest of Penrith, and I'm certain that council will council's results there will have a top quality development for small and medium sized businesses that want to set up on small lot industrial blocks within reasonable access to the city and employment. So I support the comments of Councillor Thain, and happy to second the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Fowler. Councillor Cramery, and then Councillor Cornish.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I fail to see why, if these people want to make something which is better than what we actually have, that we should go against it. Usually we've got government departments or big businesses or whatever trying to get below what we set. And I was looking at the FSR and the landscaped areas and everything else. They're trying to put in more landscape than what we asked for. The site coverage with their 0.6 instead of 0.8, I think that's a better idea. And also with the cottage, it may not be listed, but they want to preserve it, and it's been mentioned over a period of time. Why can't we leave that in this report, that it has a curtilage, that it is protected, and if we want to put it onto a list later on, okay. but I can't see any reason why we should take it out of this and do less than what wants to be done by these people to make a special area. So I'd be against enforcing anything that is better than what our DCP is.
Councillor Cornish.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. With the industrial area, having read more in the paper than anything, is the amount of job that's going to drop down concerns me with the way with what this DCP that the state government want to impose on us. I think it's quite ridiculous to take so much out of our hands and do it in a manner that's different. We've gone through all this over the years, found the good things, found the bad things, now they want to override us on everything. And a big thing that's worrying me is the effect this may or precedent it might cause on the Rockler site. Now, if they start, they hone in on the lakes area, of course, they've got the lakes area, there's no argument there. Can that be used as a precedent to cut down on what we want to do on the Rockler site, therefore stifling our return on that land as the return is going to be reduced on the land at the lake site? Can anyone tell me that, if it can be used that way against us?
Ms. Powell, Madam Mayor, if I can at this point, the intention is that these provisions apply to the Penrith Lake site and the Penrith Lake site only. Equally, at this point in time, any planning provisions for Emu Plains would be in the remit of the council.
Yeah, we hear this quite often, Madam Mayor, that it's only going to be this and only going to be that. But now we've parking for the railways, it's all going to be paid for now. Sure, the price of trains has gone down, but the price of parking your car and Penrith will be penalised. So, and we're trying to reduce the number of people working outside the area, and these guys seem to be trying to reduce the amount of work we have available and want to put everything over at the airport. That's fine in a communist nation, but we're not quite there yet. I believe that we should be opposed to some of these reductions on the amount of factories to start with. I don't have a factory anymore, but I'm certainly pro-small business because I employ everyone. The amount of people who didn't go to work today for COVID reasons, because of having to travel that far, I think more business needs to be centred in Penrith, as I think all councillors here do. But I think the state government's got it so wrong on this. I think we should be protesting very strongly. And I wouldn't put it past it to start overriding us on other areas, such as the Rockler site and other major development sites at large. I think more and more will be taken out of our hands, and this is the tip of the iceberg.
Councillor Greg Davis.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I just want to endorse what's been said by Councillor Fanny, Councillor Fowler and other councillors, and I disagree with Councillor Cranberry. I don't know where DPI drew this up from. They appeared all three of the lakes as if it's a totally separate city. It's got nothing to do with Penrith. It has the effect of reducing what we're trying to achieve, which is more jobs in Penrith. I think that's ridiculous. And I'm also concerned that with the setbacks, et cetera, which the DPI are talking about, all it's going to do is encourage building car parks and front buildings. And I think that's the last thing we want. The focus on the design and the building that's there should be the building itself, not a car park, the cars out the front. I think that's what will happen if we go down this track. So I think they've got to pull their heads in, and we've got to be strongly worded argument to say, no, we don't accept this. It's defeating everything that we're trying to achieve in Penrith. And the Lakes is part of Penrith LGA. Let's not forget that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Davies. So, councillors, we have the recommendations as...
Sorry, Madam Mayor.
Like, yeah, sure.
Not a right reply, but...
Yeah, right reply, of course, Councillor Payne.
But I'd just like to reiterate, because my councillor colleagues, Councillor Cornish, Fowler and Davies are correct. I think Councillor Cornish made a really good point that it would reduce the number of jobs that would be there, and that's a great concern. Councillor Fowler alluded to the setbacks. It's actually in the attachments, and I think it's in the letter that we had prepared about how vague they are. And I think that's the difference. Ours are firm. We want the jobs in Penrith, but, you know, we actually have firm, we have firm DCP. And we're talking about penalising one area that is going to be completely different from the rest of the city. And can you bet your life when it comes to the third city out near the airport, they will be completely different about the things that they impose there. So I think leave the city alone, let council do its job because it knows what it's doing. It's been doing it for a long time and been doing it pretty well. And I think, you know, just let council have the use of their DCP for something that will turn out to be pretty good.
Thank you, Councillor Thane. So the recommendation is that the DCP is as per council's DCP, and we then endorse the submission provided in Appendix 1 on the proviso that then reflects our DCP and not the department's. That's correct? Yes, Councillor Thane, thank you. So I put that. All those in favour, say aye. All those against, declared that carried.
Madam Mayor, just with your indulgence for a moment.
Sure, Councillor Mark Davies.
There's just one important point that wasn't brought out, was that with the DCP the state government is proposing, it's only proposing community title and strata, where council's DCP also includes Torrens title, which gives you much more flexibility. And I think there is a big desire between small businesses to actually have Torrens title as well.
Mm. Good point. And I'm sure, have you seen if that has been picked up in the submission?
It's detailed in the report.
In the report, yep. Okay, thank you. So now moving on, we have items 3 and items 4. Item 3, of course, is Councillor Cornish. That is your report. Do I have any calls for item 4?
Move it.
Move Councillor Greg Davies. Seconded Councillor Ratusa. All those in favour, all those against, declare that carried. Moving back to item number 3, Councillor Cornish, you're moving the recommendation?
With an extra recommendation, Madam Mayor, and I would like to speak to the item.
Yes, would you like, so as I can call for a seconder, could you tell us what your recommendation is?
That we implement the parking scheme.
Do I have a seconder for that?
Seconder.
Councillor Aitken? Thank you, Councillor Cornish.
Okay, Madam Mayor, this report, I believe, is flawed. If we go to page 24, we have a total of costs on this adding up to $307,000 to implement a year. One of them is putting a parking ranger on. Now, from my understanding, parking rangers make twice what they cost. And I don't think there's anyone in this city that believes they don't more than pay for themselves. We've got this down at $75,000 that it'll cost to put a parking ranger on to implement the scheme. Well, if a parking ranger costs $75,000 and brings back double, that's $150,000. So $150,000 would come off the $307,000, bringing that down to, what, $157,000? Very basic maths of the implementation of that. And I believe it would bring back far more, because that ongoing range, it wouldn't just be doing that little part of the area, they'll be doing other parts around there. And there have been calls to put on other ranges. So my belief is it'll be under $100,000 to implement. Now, for these people who have bought in that area, they're not freestanding, they're townhouses, are they? Are they freestanding or townhouses? They look like townhouses, but they're so small, the frontage is on them, and there's so much restricted parking there. We're still getting so many people in that area for commuter car parking, etc. And they've been told to go use the park at the commuter car park. I reckon that's ridiculous. I think the size... Well, council is at fault on this, and this is... the way I see it is those garages put in there where they're supposed to be on-site parking. Sure, if we all had these little tiny cars that, like mortgage plus cars, we'd probably be able to do that. But having a normal sized car, you can't get in those garages. They're shocking. There's a lack of parking, very poor design, garbage collection's a nightmare, we know that. But in the Rocks, they have a scheme. My first wife lived there. And you'd have a sticker, and you'd park there. You had one sticker per household. That's what we're proposing here. And you could park there. And you're mostly there overnight, but if you're a bit longer, you're not going to get booked. And it worked fine. I think we've got to start thinking about this, because there is going to be more of this coming up in places like Jordan Springs, where it's an absolute nightmare to park. So I believe we should put this on trial and try this out and see if it works. To turn around and say, oh no, we're not going to have this, what are we going to do? You know, it is ridiculous. When this council okayed that, I believe that area should have been commercial from the start. But it was put forward as affordable housing, but it's an absolute nightmare for parking. And the people in there don't want to complain. You get a few people, they'll say it to you on the side, but they don't want to put the complaints in case they get into trouble. So I move that this should be implemented and in 2 years' time reviewed.
It's been seconded by Councillor Aitken. Councillor Aitken, do you wish to speak as seconder?
Probably saying the same words, but won't waste them. It works everywhere else. You've got ownership of the street. When you've got a permit that says, I don't get booked, that becomes your parking spot. And I've got a place in town, and we work in very well as a group of people that share a particular parking spot. You get to know what time to leave, what time to come home, and it's not a bill of $200. Community working together in a situation that's very difficult to work with, which is parking close to your front door. So I'm fully supporting. I think let's give it a go. It always can be reviewed. If we've got it wrong, we won't be too far wrong.
Councillor Greg Davies, then I've got Councillor Cramery and Councillor Thain. Councillor Greg Davies.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I'm going to move an amendment that we... the recommendation that's in the report. Understand the senators and people and what they're talking about, but at the end of the day, this is never been approved by Transport for New South Wales anyhow. It's wasting our time. There's enough in that report to indicate that the status quo should remain, so I'll move that.
So you're foreshadowing?
Foreshadowing
the motion because it's a direct negative, yeah.
Yes.
I have a seconder for Councillor Thain. Councillor Thain, you wish to speak to that?
Madam Mayor, look, I think Councillor Davies is correct. I don't think Transport for New South Wales would support it. But the other thing that concerns me is the backlash that we'll get from the community. We're creating two tiers here. There would be two tiers. What we're saying is it's all right if you live in a terrace, but if you live in a multi-storey or a high-rise, then you don't get the permit. So I would imagine that if that occurs in the terraces, who might be happy with it, there'll be a lot more people in high density that won't be happy that they have been left out of it. So it's not. I just don't think it's viable. At the end of the day, I think, you know, that the whole idea of it was you live closer to a train station, you know, if you've bought a property that's got one car spot, then, you know, you've just got to do the best you can in the streets. And I think when we're talking about those in the inner city that have the parking permits, they're a long way from a train line. You know, when you're talking about Surry Hills and places like that, they're not close to a railway station. It's a little bit different. I think they would like compared to what we have there, but I'm concerned that it would create two tiers of residents in Thornton Park, and I don't think it would be equitable.
Councillor Cremery, are you speaking in favour of the of Councillor Cornish's recommendation, or speaking for the foreshadowed?
No, in favour of Councillor Cornish's motion. I'm having trouble getting the raise your hand button, that somebody can tell me how to do that. But the main points that Councillor Cornish brought up was the size of the streets and the size of the garages that we have allowed in all of these new developments. The size of the garages should be made big enough to put a normal car in there. And I think that that's something the council's got to look at in the future. And also the width of the streets. So that's the reason I'm supporting it. But if somebody can tell me how to get this hand raised bit up, I'll be happy. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cremery. One of the officers will likely be in touch to help you through that.
I've tried the discipline part, but it doesn't seem to work.
Councillor Thanes put something in the chat. So I have no further indications of any councillors speaking either for the motion or the foreshadowed. So I put then the original motion first, which is Councillor Cornish's motion that we implement a resident parking scheme. Can people please turn on their cameras so as I can see everyone on screen? So those in favour of Councillor...
Madam Mayor?
Yes, Councillor.
Can I be indulged just to one little information, one little sentence?
Sorry, Councillor Aiken, I didn't quite hear.
Can I give one little bit of information that might make a little difference, but might not either, but...
Yes.
It's about the parking. I'll take John's idea that it's two levels of parking, that the high-rise buildings have all got enough on-site parkings in within their building. And so it's really just the townhouses.
Thank you, Councillor Aiken. So I put Councillor Cornish's motion. Show of hands, all those in favour? All those against? I declare that lost. I then put the foreshadowed motion, which is the recommendation that the information contained in the report on the resident parking scheme be received.
Can I just say something on that, Madam Mayor?
Sure, Councillor Davies.
I just want to say that one of the other problems I saw, apart from what John raised, is if you happen to have somebody in a terrace house who might have two or three cars, and there's no parking at the front of their own place, and they park their car and they've got a residence ticket in front of somebody else's place, which not allows them to park the car, what do you do with it then? I just think it's Pandora's box you're opening up here, really.
Thank you. I will press ahead with the foreshadowed motion. All those in favour? All those against? I declare the foreshadowed motion carried. Thank you. We're now moving on to items. Scrolling through. Items 5 and 6. Do I have any calls?
6, please.
Councillor Aitken has called item 6.
And 5.
Councillor Cartwright has moved it. Councillor Carney has seconded item 5. All those in favour? All those against, declare that carried. Councillor Aitken, you're moving item 6, yes?
Yes, it's a full report. I just thank the council officers that have done the report.
Yep.
It is highlighting Gary Rumble, who's been known to a lot of people on the council here. And I don't think I've ever seen two or three pages of things that you're involved in the community, what you've started with and what you've finished and come to fruition.
That being said,
seconded Councillor Mark Davies. Thank
Unfortunately,
you.
Gary passed away way too young. But he is a fellow that's got his fingerprints on a lot of what's happened in Perris previously and now. And living up there with his neighbours and his wife had asked me to put this forward. And the council officers have met all the requirements there to pass this. It's a little bit odd why it's been done, but it's been done. And I think that's just the second thing that says Gary Rumble cared, Gary Rumble done his bit, carried his load. Yeah. So I'm very proud to put this before him. I just ask for support.
Thank you. Councillor Mark Davies has seconded. Councillor Davies, would you like to speak as seconder?
Oh, look, just that, you know, Councillor Gary Rumble just certainly in many facets, not only on council, but in the community, in his community work that he's done. It's just been a phenomenal member of the community, and I think it's just a great thing to honour him and his wife. It's great.
Mm. Councillor Cramery.
Yeah, Madam Mayor, along those lines as well, but he was one that was pushing for a Centennial Park style situation with the trees and things like that, and it's something I just want to remind council officers about. I know there's something in there tonight about the science park and some trees, but he wanted to have, well, I just forget what they call it.
Councillor Cranberry Botanical Gardens.
Yeah, that's it. I just remind council officers that when we finally get round to planting trees in the right place, like a botanical garden, that we do put his name on that. Having known Gary since I got into council in 74, he is a wonderful person, and he has always had his heart in the community. You can see through his Probus and Rotary and etc. And with the bushfire brigade, with the flooding, with all of the things that he was on top of, I found him a great person, and I really appreciate that we are doing something. But in the future, Botanical Garden.
Mm. Councillors, I don't see any other indications to speak. The recommendations as printed in the business paper 1-4, moved and seconded. All those in favour? All those against? Declare that carried. Thank you. Items 7, 8 and 9, do I have any calls?
7 and 8, please, Madam Mayor.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Move item 9. Seconder.
What seconded?
Councillor Cook, thank you. So I put item 9, all those in favour, all those against, declare that carried. Item 7, Councillor Cramery, do I have a seconder? You're moving, I take it, Councillor Cramery, is that right? Yep. You're on mute, but you're not in your head, so I'm assuming yes. Councillor Cornish, you're seconding. Yep. Thank you, Councillor Cramery.
Yes, Madam Mayor, the two of these are both the same, so we'll move the two together. But we've been through, we've had the risk management study, we've had the management plan, and now the management study, and these two are finally coming to conclusion. And the work that has gone into those by our officers and the department manager, who I haven't heard from him, but I did, but he's still around somewhere. It's a great group. They've worked terribly hard and with the community itself, and it's finally a pleasure to see these two coming to fruition. And I'd like to see some more before the election, but I doubt that will happen. So I have pleasure in moving both of them.
Councillor Cornish, you're happy to include both of them as the seconder?
Yes, yep. Madam Mayor.
Okay, and you wish to speak to those?
Yes, again, to thank the council officers for all their work. And this has taken years to do. This is not something that happens overnight. There's years of work that's gone into this, and a lot of frustration at times, and in the middle of COVID as well. And they've just done a fantastic job. This recent flood has highlighted problems. As I've said before, I don't agree with the state government. I don't think it was as bad as the 1990 flood, as it was only one river, because when we get multiples, it's a lot worse. But all the best to the council officers, and look forward, if I'm back, to working with them again on this, because it's very important for Penrith. It's the most affected flood area in New South Wales.
Councillors, I don't see any other indications to speak. I will put those two items, item 7 and item 8, together. All those in favour, all those against, declare those both carried. Thank you. Moving on to items 10, 11, 12 and 13. Do I have any calls for those?
10, please, Madam Mayor.
13, please, Madam Mayor.
Mm-hmm. Do I have a mover for items 11 and 12?
Move 11 and 12.
I'll second those.
Moved Councillor Aaron Duke, seconded Councillor Ross Fowler. All those in favour, all those against, declare that carried. Item 10, Councillor Cramery.
Sorry, Madam Mayor, isn't that Councillor Hitchin's report?
Oh, sorry, it is too. Yes, I apologise. Councillor Hitchin, of course, you get the first call. Sorry, yes, yep. There you go.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, I'd like to move the report.
Of course, yes. I have a seconder for that. Councillor Carney, thank you. Yes, Councillor Hitchin.
Well, thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to thank the council staff for putting this together so quickly. I know there was a lot of work in it and a lot of toing and froing with the Olympic Committee. I agree with the fact that we should go with our own people and do it our way. I did have a question just in relation to the costing, whether it's actually going to be for the 17 days at both sites, or is it just the 5 days at the that our local athletes are playing. There's a bit of a conflict in the report I'm not sure of.
So do we have Ms. Ryan online who might be able to answer that question for us, or is it Ms. Pollard?
Madam Mayor, I can speak to the report. The costings that we've looked at for providing the live screen for 17 days, but then activation around line screen, so having staff there and kind of getting a bit of excitement for the local athletes just on the 5 days that we have local athletes there. But that's all included in those costings.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Pollard. That answers my question. I know there's a great chance the Olympics may not go ahead. I'm looking forward to seeing our community come out to the live sites and I'm just hoping it's all going to go really well and that our athletes will make us proud on the day. But yes, I'd be happy for our council to go with the using our own people and working our own way to do this. But thank you, Mrs. Pollard and her team for putting this together. It's so exciting.
Mm. Thank you, Councillor Carney. Is the second, do you wish to speak?
Oh, well, I'm waiting all right. Okay.
Thank you. Councillor Cramery.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. The only thing that we haven't got in the report, and it wasn't envisaged then, is that we are now in lockdown and COVID has taken off and ruined our community. If we are not out of lockdown, then we will not be able to actually have these things operating. So I know that Japan has got their problems and that they're still likely to go ahead even if they don't have people in the stadiums. But the problem we have is if we put these things on and we're in lockdown, then we cannot run them. So I'd just like that brought to the attention and maybe in their discussions with the people who are putting it on for us that they can take that into account.
I'm sorry, Madam Mayor, when I put the report up, I made it very clear in the report that we had to make sure that council didn't incur charges in doing this in case the in the context that we had, in case the Olympics were cancelled. And I think in the report it does mention that that was taken into account with the council officers when they were negotiating for their life site.
Mm.
But not the the local problem.
Thank you. Councillor Greg Davies.
Well, Councillor Cath Presti first.
Okay. Sorry, yep, Councillor Presti. Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thanks, Councillor Davies. I just have a question through you, Madam Mayor. While I think going with our own people is the best idea, there's nothing in there about any fees that we may have to pay for broadcast rights. Now, I know that the IOC and AOC are quite protective of who can and can't screen these things. What arrangements will be made in relation to that, and is that likely to cost us anything more?
Ms. Pollard?
Yeah, Madam Mayor, in investigating both of the options, the staff have been in contact with the IOC and to understand that we can, like once we register as a live site, that we can accept broadcast to that without any additional cost.
Thank you. Councillor Greg Davies.
Oh, thanks, Madam Mayor. I still think this is a great idea, but I'm glad that was clarified about any charges that the Olympic committees might make to us. But my other question is, if we're going to do this, what are we doing for the Paralympics?
Ms. Pollard?
Well, Madam Mayor, the costing for the Paralympics hasn't been done. We're happy to investigate that as well, if that's the direction Council would like to take.
I think if we're going to do the Olympics, I think we've got to be fair about this and recognise that there are people that will be representing Australian Paralympics. And if we're going to do it, we've got to do it for everybody and be inclusive. That's what Council's all.
Madam Mayor, I agree about being inclusive. That the main impetus was this was the fact that Penrith had two athletes participating in the Olympics. I mean, I'm all for the Paralympics, but I'm not sure about the costing to have for the extra. I think it's an extra 10 days for the Paralympics, and I'm not sure that Penrith actually has any athletes that are participating in the Paralympics. But I'd be happy for investigations for that to take place.
Thank you. If we could get maybe a memo reply back. Councillor Greg Davies, yeah, for that?
I'm happy with that. Yeah.
Thank you. So it has been moved and seconded. Some further information to come back via MIMO. All those in favour? All those against? Declare that carried. Thank you. So we now have item 13, grant assistance.
I'm happy to move that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hitchin.
Seconded.
Seconded, Councillor Cramery. Councillor Hitchin, you wish to speak?
I just wanted to mention one thing. As much as I understand that these grants were for specific projects, I can't help but notice that for the $1.242 million, we don't get one tree in St Mary's. And I'm just wondering if there's in the next round of grants, if we could St Mary's and Erskine Park Industrial Area, could I get a mention, please?
Mm. Mr Stephan?
Madam Mayor, Madam Deputy Mayor, I can confirm St Mary's got the first run in grants last year. In December, we were awarded $1 million with matching funding of $1 million. From Council's program to plant 5,000 trees in the eastern area of the LGA, focused on St Mary's. That was all based on all the great work we did on research through the Cooling the City strategy and the heat mapping. So we're able to demonstrate to the funding programmers that how the impacts planting 5,000 trees in St Mary's in the eastern suburbs with the eastern part of Penrith, where the heat map showed it is the hottest in the LGA, and that was December, early December. We awarded that grant in December council meeting. Council adopted to accept that grant, so those plantings will start in spring. We'll go ahead with all the public spaces trees, but we are putting a significant number of street trees in, but we'll be engaging with the residents during that program. Just off the top of my head, we did put 340 trees in Camellian Reserve as part of our council's reinvestment program, Parks Reinvestment, and I can probably have a list of others, but I might take that on notice and I can send an email out to update.
Thank you,
Mr. Stephan. The seconder wish to speak? No? I don't have any further indications of speakers. Has been moved and seconded. All those in favour? All those against? Declare that carried. Thank you. We now move on to our next items, which are items 14, 15, 16 and 17. Do I have any calls?
Item 16, please.
16, Madam.
Mm-hmm. Move 14, 15, 17.
Move Councillor Greg Davies.
Second, Madam Mayor.
Councillor.
Just on item 15, before you do move it.
You would, yes. Do you like to pull that out, Councillor Fowler?
Just as a question.
Okay, we'll pull that one out and move on with the others, if that's okay. So it's been moved, it was moved and seconded, Councillor Duke. All those in favour, all those against, declare that carried. Councillor Fowler.
Happy to move the recommendation, Madam Mayor. Somebody asked me, tell me whether they have the financial report back for Innate Proprietary Limited. I noticed it was hadn't been received at the time of writing the report and recommending that company for the...
Happy to second that, Madam Mayor.
That's Councillor Thane. Thank you.
Madam Mayor?
Jackson, yes.
Yes, we have received the financial report, I think, late on Friday. So, yes, it is. It's fine to proceed with Innate as recommended.
Okay. Well, then our recommendation probably should include something to say that a clear financial report's been received in relation to Innate Proprietary, because the report doesn't mention that. So I'm happy to move the recommendation with that addition.
With that additional point. And that's, that's accepted by the seconder. I see nods. All those in favour, all those against, declare that carried. Thank you. Item 16. Councillor Cremery, are you moving the recommendation?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'll move it.
And a seconder for that item?
Seconded, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Fowler? Yes, Councillor Cremery, you wish to speak?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'm very pleased that the rural areas and what the council is proposing there, where that 4.7% will be of benefit to those people. The rest of it, I think everybody's been briefed on it on numerous occasions, and I think that that's good. I'm just glad that the government has finally got the information through which allows us to do it, even though there is a few problems which we hope they're going to sort out for us in the near future for next year. The other thing is the person who addressed the meeting tonight, Bob.
Mr. Simpson, yes?
Yeah. Where he brought that up about the trees, I think that I'd like council officers to have a closer look at that, because quite often people do plant a tree, and I've done it myself, and it suddenly grows to be 30, 40 metres tall, and it's a problem, and it's breaking your water pipes and whatever. That tree can be removed and another tree planted, or one in council's area or something of that nature. There should be something there that gives us the same benefit as what developers have, that if we have a problem tree, that it can be removed and some compensation for it, or a tree planted in a better place or something of that nature. If it was a natural tree and it was there before we bought the land or something like that, it's slightly different. But if you planted something yourself and it's now grown out of proportion, I think there should be some way that we can sort that out so that it's not damaging your driveway, not damaging your house, and the things that Mr. Simpson put in his address. So I'd like to ask the council officers look at that and come back to something in the future.
Mm. Councillor Fowler is the seconder. You wish to speak?
I'm happy to have that included in the recommendation, Madam Mayor. I'm very pleased to know that Councillor Cremery is pleased with the result. I mean, it's something that this council has been working towards for a number of years, trying to come to a method of giving some relief to rural ratepayers, and this does achieve it in some form or fashion. Thanking the state government for getting through the regulations so that we could actually apply the new rating measures this year rather than having to wait for another year. I would also just like to take the opportunity to thank all the council officers that are involved in putting the report together. There's been a number of presentations, there's been a number of, submissions also, which have been made by the public, and I know that they've been taken on board and explained and written back to the people making submissions, and that various changes have been made to the operational plan as originally put on public display. So the input of the public is in this. The public has had ample time to be able to look at the operational plan and to look at council's, vision for the next year in relation to its revenue and where it's going to spend the money and what it's going to be spent on. So I think it must, without doubt, say to me that the community as a whole are very much in agreement with what we're putting forward as the operational plan for the next 12 months. But I just would also, again, just reiterate my thanks to the council staff who have obviously done a tremendous amount of work in putting this all together. So, thank you.
Councillor Cornish.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I won't be voting for this. The state government said pegged rises at 2% for all councils this year as the maximum. We've taken the maximum. We'll receive over the maximum with what's going to come online. Was it 2.4%? But it's at a time when people are struggling. They're not at work today. I think whilst there's an economic argument for it, if we were a business, sure. But we're not a business, we're a service provider, or should be. I believe 1% would have been enough this year. I'm speaking as a ratepayer in Penrith, not as an accountant. I believe the people are suffering enough, not for any reason of their own, but because the value of the land has gone up so much, and it has gone up again through this COVID thing. So they're getting hit on multiple rises, not just on the percentage increase council puts on them, but on their value of their land rise, which you can't realise at the moment. Whilst there has been minor relief for some of the rural areas, I don't think it's enough. I don't believe that the people who have owned the land for over 20 years in those areas should be subject to these great rises because of whatever reason, the airport or whatever we claim has increased the values. The state government should be subsidising these people because it's there. What they've pushed forward that have caused all these people, especially out of Kemps Creek Way and around there where you've got a lot of old pensioners that just want to live there and die there. They didn't move there on land speculation. No one really cared about the area. You've got the same at Londonderry now. Prices are going up, Landilo. The prices have gone up so dramatically that these people can't afford to live. There's no use saying, their land's worth this much, but you can't eat the land. You can't pay your bills with the land. I think these people are in a bad way. So I won't be voting for this, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Bertusa.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I want to endorse the comments made by Councillor Fowler, in particular with regards to the work of council staff. This is a very important document for the financial security of the city. We are a service provider, and the growth in our footprint continues to be of value to the Greater Sydney footprint. I also would like to endorse and support Councillor Cramery's comments with regards to the rural area, and particularly the submission by Mr. Simpson. I'm guilty of being a non-Don Burke and planting wrong trees. I thought a number of his comments were valid, and I hope council staff have reached out and had a viable and logical conversation with Mr. Simpson. We need more residents, constituents providing us with feedback such as this, so we can try and get it right. But on the whole, yes, I support the report.
Thank you. Councillor Fowler, you have your hand up.
Madam Mayor, if I just may make a comment in relation to what Councillor Cornish has said.
Yeah.
Obviously, Councillor Cornish doesn't understand the rating system, because a 1% rise is not going to help any of those people that he referred to in relation to Kemps Creek, other than by the rate of 1%. What we've done here is much more advantageous to those people in terms of correcting or changing the rating regime than what we've done before. We're allowed a 2.2% yield increase over and above our rating income for last year, adjusted for new subdivisions and new lots that are created. To reduce that 2.2 to 1%, obviously means that we would also have to reduce services provided. Yes, Councillor Cornish has it right, we are a service industry, but you just can't go arbitrarily reducing rates or reducing your income without affecting the other side of the equation, which is the services you provided. And I've heard nothing in the submission that from anyone that wants those services diminished. In fact, if you read the submissions, you probably expect there's an expectation of the community to have these services improved. And we've been very receptive to those, what's been said by the community over the years, and have increased the number of the services, and also have taken into account those that have been less able to pay their rates. There are facilities available to those people to defer the rates without any imposition on their property until such time as it's sold or it's disposed of. So to say you can't support this really means that you can't, you're saying what you can't support anything that council does because of the services we provide are much needed without out there in the community. And I think we've got to act responsibly, and this is what this budget or this operational plan does into the future. It acts responsibly for the well-being of the ratepayers and the citizens of Penrith.
Councillor Cornish.
Madam Mayor, to clarify for Councillor Bowler's benefit, I wasn't just mentioning the rural areas. I was saying this about all areas. Therefore, there are a lot of people, and Penrith is not a high socio-economic area. It was affordable. Now it's becoming unaffordable, and that's for the people who are already here. Sometimes we can't look at the council turnover as being success for the council and then give ourselves a pat on the back if we're making the people suffer. Whilst in some areas I say, well, all right, Councillor Fowler says that we have to reduce services, but we're pouring money into investment, which is a good thing, sure, but not at the expense of families being hurt because they can't pay bills and the stress that comes with that more so than anything. Most family breakups happen because of monetary problems. And I still believe that this council, as a level of government, federal and state, have done a lot. And I know the state and the lot I'm asked to pay for. However, I mean, we could be argued we've done some things. Sure, we have. But not directly to the people who are finding it really tough. I stand by what I say. And I'm sure Councillor Fowler will stand by what he says.
Councillor Cramery, you have right of reply as mover.
If nobody else wants to speak, yes.
No, no one else. Councillor Cramery, I do not see any other indications from councillors they wish to speak any further.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. This will probably be the last time that I'll be speaking on rates. I've been doing this for many, many years, and the culmination of this, and I thank the councils, councillors for finally coming behind me on this matter. I just hope that the people elected, if we have elections in September, honour the principles set out in this report. Along the lines of what Councillor Cornish says, I think that we should be cognizant over the next 2 or 3 years of the bread and butter items continue, but let's be careful of what we are doing with the cream bun type situation for the future. I'm not real happy with the city park because of the amount of money that we have spent buying those buildings. Now we're going to lose the income from them, and that's all an impost upon the council. For the next couple of years, I think we should be looking at tightening our belt and concentrating on the niceties and not the green buns. Thank you.
Thank you. The item has been moved and seconded. Recommendations as printed in the business paper. All those in favour? All those against? Declare that carried. Thank you. Okay, so that concludes the items as in the business paper. We now move on to requests for reports and memorandums. I have to move over to a second list for this one, councillors. So, Councillor Cook.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I had the privilege of being asked to be a judge at the Westwards competition recently. The library staff asked if I would become involved in this. It's a competition run by Westwards for Western Sydney young people to write about their experiences living and growing up in Western Sydney. Unfortunately, the launch wasn't able to go ahead today because of COVID. But during the course of that, I got to know a bit more about the organisation, and I'd like to request, or maybe if we could look into council looking into getting a writing room in Penrith. I know it's been raised before, apparently, a few years ago, but there wasn't the space or the grants available. But it'd be a great opportunity for council to get involved if we could. And to also make this awards a yearly, they want to make it a yearly occurrence. I just feel it's such a worthwhile thing. Some of the stories were quite, really, for the age group, like it's age groups from 10 to 12 and then up to 18 plus. And some of the stories were just brilliant, moving. And it's an opportunity, you know, for our young people to express themselves through their own personal narrative, through prose and through poetry. It's perhaps if we could look into maybe liaison with Westwards, and I know Blacktown Council was involved in originally when it was set up in 2007, and there is a writing room in Katoomba and one in Campbelltown, so if we could maybe have a look into that, that would be fantastic.
Thank you. Councillor Carney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just a couple for tonight. First one, if I can get staff to have a look into what recently the Nepean Hockey's had the upgrades down there at their facility. But there's one thing that's still remaining. They've got a undercovered area there which requires some concreting. Just wondering if we could get to Andrew or one of the staff members there to go down and meet with Nepean Hockey to see what they require and see if there's any opportunities we may be able to assist with them to get that final piece of the puzzle finished off. And as it's a regional facility for Penrith, I think it'd be one that's really worthwhile doing. And yes, I understand it is at the university, but it is a facility that really hasn't come knocking on our door before. So I think it'd be worth if we can get Andrew Robinson to liaise with them and see what needs to be done and see what we can do to assist Nepean Hockey. That'd be sensational. Item two is just going back, we made a decision some time ago about charity bins. Looking around, they're still in place. Can we get a memo to all councillors on where we're up to with this? It's starting to get to, it looks like it's clean out summertime at many of these bins, especially around Glenmore Park, St Mary's. Sunday nights they're just dumped, flowing out of the bins. So if we can get a memo back to councillors on where we're up to with that, that'd be great. And then the last one, this is an item that both Councillor Petusa and also Councillor Duke had raised previously over a numerous times around the discarded trolleys around the city. We haven't really heard much back since both Councillor Petusa and Councillor Duke had raised this issue. But I understand Cumberland Council now has a program that seems to be working quite well. They actually are fining the companies who aren't removing their trolleys, and they're putting that money back into the community. So can we have a look at what Cumberland's doing and see if it's an opportunity that we may be able to do here in Bedford? Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. I have Councillor Thane.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. With your indulgence, I had some trouble trying to actually use the portal to get this tonight, but it's actually for the Traffic Committee. And I've got to say, it's something that Councillor Cremery has raised on quite a few occasions, and I've raised it myself, but I have been driving there the last few weeks. It's 8th Road and 3rd Avenue at Landilo. It's a very, very confusing crossroads, Madam Mayor. It is a crossroads. There's three stop signs with one with a right of way. Well, what happens is that the other three prop, stop, and then have no idea what to do after that. So it becomes really confusing and quite dangerous. You'll often see two cars trying to take off at the same time because they're not sure who has right of way. And I think it's an accident that's waiting to happen. I think the Traffic Committee really does need to have a good look. I think it's appropriate that there's a roundabout there. I think people know how to use roundabouts, but when you've got three stop signs, it just confuses everyone. And I think it's absolutely quite dangerous. Also, I visited a resident in... I'm flying myself agreeing with Councillor Cremery tonight. I don't know what's going on. But also the management report, he supported the rates this time. That's unusual. but I did visit a property in Landilo Berkshire Park. Council Cromie's raised it about fuel. I actually had a look at the property. I've got to say it quite concerns me. But I'll send that in for the officers to have a look at with my thoughts. There's a bit gobsmacked by how much that property has been raised. And I've got some photos to go with it, but, you know, a bit of a concern there, Madam Mayor.
Mm. Thank you. Councillor Hitchin.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I've got just a couple. I'll be quick. The first one is I am asking if Council will agree to be a collection point for the Support the Girls charity. Support the Girls provide support services to meet the basic needs of vulnerable women and girls who are homeless, disadvantaged, marginalised through poverty. And one of the ways they do this is providing underwear and hygiene products to disadvantaged or isolated communities, women's refuges, homeless shelters and the like. It's unbelievable in this day and age that women have to choose between eating and hygiene products. Support the Girls accepts the donations and then redistribute it to those areas in need. I'm asking if Council would allow the placement of a collection bin in front of the building, and I'll agree or I'll undertake to empty that bin every Monday, or I'll speak to Pauline and she could call me and I'll come and collect it if it builds up. But it's a need in the community, it won't cost us anything, and it'd be great if we could do that. Mm-hmm. But, sorry, the second one, I've spoken with Councillor Cook and Councillor Carney about this. The St. Clair Comets under 15 side has been fundraising for 3 years for a trip to Townsville. They're there to play some competition games and then they intend to visit some local Indigenous communities to distribute school supplies and sporting goods. And by way of raffles, cake stalls and Bunnings barbecues, they've raised over $17,000, but they actually need 26 to undertake the trip. I propose that the East Ward councillors we donate $3,000 to the St Clair Comets to help them on their way. And I'm hoping that any of our media friends that are listening in tonight see this as a really good project and pick it up and maybe give them to the media to help them raise the rest of the money that they need.
Second that, yeah.
You're seconding that, Councillor Carney. I'm happy to treat that as an urgency motion. So I put that. All those in favour? All those against, declare that carried. Thank you, Councillor Hitchin.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just have one other. It's I'm asking Council if they'll undertake an audit of accessible paths of travel in the Penrith area. And just to make it a short story, I had to take my son to a specialist in Penrith the other day, and I parked in the nearest accessible parking spot. But then I had to try and get to the specialist office, and I found it extremely difficult. The footpath that I took ended in a car park. And then I had to actually push my son in his wheelchair up the road in between the traffic on the street. When I got up to Castlereagh Road, there still wasn't any pram ramps for me to get him onto the footpath, and I crossed over and actually pushed him up in the middle of Castlereagh Road, Castlereagh Street, until I could get to the roundabout where there's a pram ramp. And I was really frustrated and angry, and I was disappointed because this council is such good. It's so good in areas of disability. And we're really good at putting in accessible parking spaces, but I don't think we've ever looked at the paths to travel from those parking spaces to what the desired hubs, like medical hubs. So I'm asking if we could undertake that. It will be a costly project, I think, in the long term. And it's not just for me. This is because Penrith needs to be accessible for everybody. But I do think it's an important thing that we undertake.
Madam Mayor, just on that, if I may, many years ago I raised the problem about the pram ramps, and we have started putting them in progressively through Penrith. But yes, if there is areas that we still haven't got it, I believe that every intersection should have the pram ramps, and maybe that's one of the things that we can be looking at long term. But I started that out 20 years ago, and we are a lot better than we used to be.
And maybe we get an update on where we're at with that. Thank you. Councillor Greg Davies.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'm old chestnut, but we've got council elections coming up in September, and there will be various people sticking their hand up and wanting to become councillors. Now, I assume that they'll be able to put signs up anywhere they wish. Well, the only reason I say that is because I do know that we've been a bit slack on removing the signs, especially the ones for that kitchen mob from Worthwell Park that just keep appearing everywhere that I drive around. So either we remove them or are we allowing councillors to, or prospective councillors, to put signs up anywhere in the future?
I think we may be getting some information sent out to everyone, and I'm sure it will go to prospective councillors on what the rules and regulations are in terms of signage. Thank you.
That's fine, but we've got to play the same rules for everybody too.
Yep, absolutely.
The ones that I get annoyed at is the kitchen signs. They're all from the same person. And they're not even from Benham, they're from Worthwell Park, and it just annoys me that we don't be doing anything about it. So that was why I raised it. I was being a bit sarcastic.
It's okay, thank you. Councillor Bertuzza.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I've only got one item, but before that I think we should all acknowledge the considerable contribution last evening by the Penrith Connection in winning the State of Origin Shield back-to-back. So we won the two matches, and the Shield's coming home to beautiful downtown New South Wales, coached by none other than Freddie Fittler, who, I don't know if you remember, back in 1991, Wayne Mitchell, you were joining council back then, played in that winning grand final, so well done to the Penrith Connection. Now, I apologise in advance for this item. I contacted a resident. He allegedly made contact with council back in 2002 about this issue, and it still has not been resolved. It's in Mount Vernon. The allegations include, and this is from his neighbour's property, contaminated water, he has lost livestock, there is sewage seeping onto his property. I would ask that council staff reach out to the gentleman. I've provided his details immediately. We're talking about 20 years worth of pain this person's gone through. Please be very mindful. He is a senior citizen, and pay him the respect he deserves. If you could contact him this week, would be appreciated. Just to get some facts and figures, he would have a tree worth of information. I'm talking about the paper contest there. highlighting all of the damage that has been caused by his neighbour's property. So I would ask council staff to reach out. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Mark Davies.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. What I won at Chatter Ponds Road, Mulgoa, I just wanted to ask the council to go there and have a look. There's some drainage issues right across the front of that property. So look at what could be done to improve that. There's also an entrance, some pipe work. It really needs to be extended for entrance onto the property. So if we look at what we could possibly do there, I think Councillor Fowler might be aware of it as well. And Madam Mayor, there's a couple of other items, with your indulgence, which I haven't written down yet, but I was out at the Regatta Centre not so long ago. I hadn't been out there for a long time, and I was quite appalled at the condition. I hadn't even arrived into the facility. Just the signage on approach is just appalling. It's half formed down, it's taped up, it just looks absolutely terrible. I've gone in, I'm being told that the water quality isn't good enough to even to be used at the moment. I was at a function where it wasn't the restaurant, but the auxiliary room. It was the whole place is just completely run down. And I thought to myself, this is a regional facility. People come into Penrith, and I was really, really disappointed, really appalled that there's been no maintenance at all and had been let to go to the state that it's at. If I could get a memo regarding the water quality, what's happening with the facility, would be great. That's one. The other point I just wanted to make, I just wanted to get a copy of the general manager's employment contract. If I could get a copy of that, that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Cornish.
Where are we? Thank you, Madam Mayor. I've got three here. One, how many car spots are being removed permanently from at the Regatta Centre, the ones that's on the road, that's on River Road, and how many are going to replace them?
Sorry, Councillor Cornish, Regatta Park, you mean? Not the Regatta Centre.
Yeah, Regatta Park. Sorry, we're just talking about the Regatta Centre. That was on my mind. Regatta Park. And how many extra parking places will be put in? And also, will the markets be going back there? Because they were extremely popular and quite good. And I think they'll even get bigger with the closing down eventually of the Trotting Club. Site, the showground site. So I think, can I just find out how many car spots will be there? Because we want to make sure we get enough people or customers, if you like, into that place to use it. At the moment, the car park's not big enough. People park on the road all over the place down there. So we've got to make sure we have got enough parking. That's the first one. The second one concerns me greatly. Well, none of us want the cemetery built at the golf course at Wallachia. I'm worried about where the government's going with this, and they've made mistakes before on policies made for a single issue, whereas they put in a policy that if you're in council, you couldn't run be in state government at the time, and that was aimed at getting rid of Clover Moor. And that backfired greatly because it affected so many people in state government and councillors who were both. And this one here worries me about removing religious organisations, spiritual organisations, if you like, from the involvement of dealing with the deceased. Now, I've asked there, is the government moving towards 99-year leases? And that happens in other countries where 99 years and up you come, basically, and you're disposed of somewhere else. And under what circumstances can burial land be reused and graves be removed or bulldozed? And we've seen that happen at Rookwood Cemetery when they put the bypass in around the side of the railway line. and people were going there and finding that their grandparents' graves were now under the road. And under new legislation, will religious organisations have any say? That's my point. Well, is it going back to stake? Is it, this is, from what I can see, this seems to be a push of, at the beginning, another attack on religion, especially the Christian religion. We've seen the government on many stages trying to override Christian groups and impose laws upon them that weren't there before or haven't been there for thousands of years. And I find this distressing, especially Christian religion. Other religions are being put before Christian religions. And I have no problem with any religion that fits in with us, but I see a precedent today. It was then what was sent out to all councillors in a media alert that Auburn Council has now approved call to prayer for the Muslim religion at 5 a.m. on loudspeakers. They call it a trial. Yeah,
that was an environmental call.
That was it.
It's just environmental court, not the council.
Excuse me, I'm speaking. So therefore, that highlights the way things are going. Now, these are right next to residential properties, which will obviously have an effect in every council area. But whilst I know Councillor Bertuzzi has lobbied heavily against the golf course becoming a cemetery, and I agree, I don't think it should be. I think the government might be going too far, and where it's going to stop, I'm not too sure. So on those questions I've put down, could I get an answer on those, please, Madam Mayor? And with your indulgence, Madam Mayor, a short one, and it was in the minutes of the Heritage Committee. With the Northern Road, when it was renamed, were we consulted at all? The old Northern Road, where it went through, what's it called, London. Now, it's called some family name now. Now, it's a bit of a raising of heritage, in my view. We've got old Bathurst Road there, which says exactly what it was. It was the old road, so it's never going to be lost. I saw out where my property is. There's one there that was the old Windia Road, and they changed it to Wilson Road, which means absolutely nothing. So my point being, heritage in these names should reflect our past and what that these major roads, like Castle Ray Road's heritage listed, but why didn't the state government consult with Penrith Council on this, if it hasn't, and has it consulted with anyone? Because the Heritage Committee heard nothing. So I'm worried what will happen to erase things in the future. Like with Gary Rumble, a great man by all accounts tonight, will his the reserve there be changed at a later date? I mean, these things should be preserved onwards as part of our heritage. But Whitlam Square was changed. It's called something else now. MLC Centre's called a number now. That's just the point I'd like to make, is these things should be consulted, and we should have a say in it with the rapid expansion that's going on in Penrith. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Cranberry.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. The first one I'd like to bring up, back in February, I asked the councillors to support the Leukemia Foundation fundraiser, which was going to be held in the Memorial Hall. For some reason or other, it didn't get into our business papers, and because it is a money thing, I have to raise it again. And that is the hire of the Memorial Hall in July for this Leukemia Foundation fundraiser, that it be divided equally amongst the three wards. We did approve it before, you all did, and you agreed with it. So I'd just like to raise it again that should they be able to hold this fundraising day, that we provide from Data Works money to, for the hire of the hall.
Councillor Cramer, you said it's already been approved?
We approved it in February, but it didn't get into the minutes for some reason or other. So we have to move it again. So I would ask the councillors to again say that we will fund the Leukemia Day Foundation fundraiser.
It didn't get into the minutes, but you put through a formal request and council adopted. It was moved as a motion of urgency, but it didn't get into the minutes, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Gee, that's highly unlikely.
Nobody can figure out why it disappeared.
Okay. So, councillors, can I have a seconder for Councillor Cramery's motion? Councillor Cornish, I'm happy to treat that again as an item of urgency, and that the amount of money come out. And how much was it for again, Councillor Cramery?
I'm not sure. I think it's about $1,600 for the hire of the Memorial Hall for that day.
Okay, so whatever the amount was that was approved back in February, that same amount is approved again. And I put that, all those in favour?
Aye.
All those against? Declare that carried. Thank you.
Thank you, councillors. The next one is the drainage on Third Road, Berkshire Park. Now, Berkshire Park used to be an airport during the war, and it's very flat. We have got a drainage program going on at the moment to fix up all the gutters. And I'm told that... Pardon?
Don't mention the war.
Councillor Cramer, you have the floor.
Thank you. That area out there is so flat, and when people have got water laying in front of their road, then they go and dig holes down the side of their fence and things like that. And now the water's flowing from Third Road down to Second Road. Now, some time back, about 2 years ago, we upgraded the drainage from Second Road into South Creek. We need to do the same thing to Third Road, but I'm just asking that we get a report back on it. But in our gutter program that we have passed, that Berkshire Park be given the highest priority so that we don't have this where this person is draining water through somebody else's place, etc., etc. So I'd like to know if councillors will support me on that. The third one, the school at Craneville, Corpus Christi. There is no parking signs opposite the school in some places, but it doesn't extend past the entrances to the Kiss and Ride. They need to be extended by another 3 or 4 car parking spaces, so all the cars that are lined up trying to get into Corpus Christi are now blocking the through traffic because there's cars parked on the side of the road. So I'd like council to have a look at it and just extend the no parking zone another 20 metres so that the traffic can still flow. It's really a mess there at the moment. And the fourth one is the giveaway spotlight that's been done. The other one, given the response to my question at the last meeting regarding council having going onto people's property, we were told that council can't go onto people's property without their consent or a court order. I would ask why council or its agents entered number 8 O'Donoghue's Road, Avenue, Mulgoa on the 4th of July 2000 when there was nobody home. I know this is going back in history. It hasn't gone away. It's going to hit the fan very badly in the future. But I'd just like to know how we had people go in there, knock on the door, nobody home, so then they entered the property and took photographs. So I'd like people to, officers to have a look at the records and tell me why, if our policy or if the law is that you can't go on without a court order or permission, that we actually did that.
I'm sure councillors will be able, officers will be able to answer your question, Councillor Cramer.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. So I don't see any other councillors with items.
Madam Mayor, I did lodge a third one I haven't spoken to.
Oh, right.
You see on the paper there. Sorry, I missed that.
Sorry, I just received a list through. I haven't actually got access to the system.
Oh, you haven't got them there?
No.
That's okay.
Thank you.
It's just a short one. Is the footpath on the Victoria Bridge on the Great Western Highway there still going to be removed and the road widened? And if so, when? Has the state government changed its mind there? Because that is so dangerous there. Trucks are losing mirrors all the time, hitting each other. It's very narrow, and it shouldn't be there now that we've got that ugly footbridge. So can I get something back on that, please?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councillors, we have concluded our requests for reports and memorandums. We will now be, as per the agenda, we'll be moving into Committee of the Whole to deal with confidential business.
Move item one.
Thank you, Councillor Cramry has moved the motion that we move to Committee of the Whole. Have a seconder, Councillor Cartwright. Thank you. All those in favour? Oh, first I should say, is there any member of the public who wishes to... the Committee of the Whole of Penrith City Council met on Monday the 28th of June. All councillors were present during the Committee of the Whole, and the Committee of the Whole excluded the press and the public from the meeting for reasons set out in Committee of the Whole 1, and that the Committee of the Whole submitted the following submitted recommendations to council, and that item 2, the information contained in the report on Sydney Metro.
Recording in progress.
Okay. The Committee of the Whole met Monday the 28th of June, and all councillors were present. The press and the public were excluded for reasons set out in Committee of the Whole Report 1 and submitted the following recommendations to council. On this item 2, on the Sydney Metro construction licences, it was moved and seconded. And the recommendation that information contained in the report be received, that council licenses the site on terms and conditions listed within the report, and that 3, a common seal of the city of Penrith be affected to any necessary documentation. Item 3, so place project update and CapEx review, was moved and seconded, that the information contained in the report on Soper Place project update and CapEx review be received, to the council endorse the capital expenditure report and forward it to the New South Wales Office of Local Government. Thank you very much, everyone. That concludes the business for the ordinary meeting, and thank you for your participation and your input. And stay safe, everyone. Thank you. Good night.